Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Great to see you today. We're so glad you're here. I'm glad that you're here today. Pastor Daniel and Craig and Dean, thank you. Reed, so sorry for leading us in worship today. That was sweet. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be able to stand before you and to teach God's word. And so I'm excited about what God wants to say to us today. Pastor Daniel reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and he said, "Mike, would you be able to preach the first Sunday of May?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to." And as I always began to pray about that, and then it was actually in a dream at night. And all I knew was when I woke up, I knew what I was supposed to talk about. And so, led of the Lord, God wants us to talk about joy today, and in particular, how to find the path toward joy in Christ, a path toward joy. So I'm really excited to be able to talk to you about this. Have you ever discovered something about yourself that was maybe unsettling at first? But then in the end, God worked through it to bring something very liberating. Well, this is something that happened to me a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. While the Earth's crust was still cooling, I was in college. I went to college at Florida State University, and my degree was in music education. I was actually learning how to be a high school choir teacher. I've never worked as a high school choir teacher in my entire life, but that's what my degree was in. And in my sophomore year, I was able to audition for a singing group that was called the University Singers. And I was able to get in, and I loved being in this singing group. It was awesome. And our director and the head of the choral department was a man by the name of Dr. Andre Thomas. Now, Dr. Thomas was a world-renowned choral clinician, and he's still doing that today. He's actually one of the conductors of the London Symphony Orchestra. So we were really blessed to be able to be under his leadership and to learn how to sing. But I learned something about myself as I was in this singing group. When rehearsal or class would start, there was always a graduate assistant who would come in, take roll, get us all warmed up, and it was always a few minutes later that Dr. Thomas would arrive. And of course, all of us would sit up tall with our books in our hands, but I began to notice that when he arrived, I got really nervous. So much so that I began to get tense, and it really affected my singing. I was not able to sing well, and then I began to develop migraine headaches, and it was literally the moment he walked into the room. I had no idea what was going on. I had a good friend who was the Baptist campus minister. So I went to him and I talked to him about this problem. And it was through prayer and counseling and conversation that the Lord directed us and helped me to realize about a struggle that I've had for many years. And it was a struggle with perfectionism and seeking approval. I wanted to be perfect for Dr. Thomas and I wanted his approval. I so badly wanted it that it caused me to be living in a place of fear. I was fearful that I would not get and have his approval. Has this ever happened to you? I mean, have you ever struggled with this or maybe felt this way? Maybe it's a feeling of insecurity or a feeling of inadequacy, this nagging feeling that I'm not good enough. Or maybe I have to have the approval and acceptance of others. And one of the things I want us to see this morning is when we're feeling this way, we're actually living in fear. And God desires for another way for us to live. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to live in joy and peace and strength. And He's actually made a way for this to happen in our lives. Psalm 16:11 says this: "You, God, will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." God wants to show us the path toward life in Him, that in His presence is fullness of joy. God wants to show us how to live this way more and more all the time. So this morning, we're asking the question, what is the path of joy? How can we live in and experience joy and peace and strength in our daily lives? Our scripture text this morning comes from the book of Philippians chapter 4. So I want to ask you, as our practice here at Cultivate, please stand. And we're going to pray together, pray for the word today as we read it and as we proclaim it, and then we'll read the text together. So Father, thank you for a wonderful time in worship this morning. Thank you for your love. You're so good. Thank you for your presence. We need you, God. We are desperate. Now, Lord, as we open up your word, may your Holy Spirit lead us, teach us, guide us, and may we put it into practice, that our lives would be transformed and you would be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Philippians 4, starting in verse 11, the word of the Lord says, Paul speaking says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May God be praised by the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now, it's important for us to know that the main theme of the book of Philippians is joy, which, by the way, is quite amazing, because Paul wrote this book while he was in prison, and he had learned the secret here that no matter what, he is content. Now, a couple of words here. The word for learned is the Greek word manthano, and it means to increase in knowledge. And in this particular case, it means to grow in knowledge by the use and the practice of it. And that's going to be really important as we talk about the path to joy today. The word for contentment is the Greek word autarkēs, and it means to be sufficient for oneself, strong enough or possessing enough to need no aid or support, independent of external circumstances. It is one who is contented with their lot, with their means, even though they could be the most slender or the slenderest. So what is the secret of contentment? What is the way, listen, to remain joyful no matter what circumstances we're in? If you're taking notes this morning, here's the first point. First, we need to recognize the difference between being in fear or being in joy. Now, being fearful is about experiencing negative emotions. Maybe it's anger or frustration or shame or worry or anxiousness. It's when we're upset about something. And a great way to think about it is that we are not our normal, happy, unstressed self. We are not at our best. And your best, my best, our best is the way that God wants us to live. A guy a long time ago, St. Irenaeus, said this: the glory of God is man fully alive. God's glory is the most important matter in all of the universe. And it is the point of the Christian life. We are to live for God's glory. And we best do this when we are alive and free in Christ, living out our best life, living out who God created us to be, thriving, full of joy, and serving him. And that's why Jesus said, here's the way we get it in John 10:10. He said, I have come. Jesus said he came so that we could have life and have it to the full. And that's what we all want, right? But at times, we do experience negative things. Maybe we get triggered. We talk about that. I work with special needs students in an elementary school setting, and we have kids that get triggered. Sometimes we can get stuck, okay, in these emotions. And then very sadly for some folks, they live there all the time, and they don't know how to get out. One of the things that we need to learn how to do is to recognize when we're just feeling this way, to identify it. last Saturday, I got triggered. We were driving to Nissan Stadium because our son-in-law was running in the Nashville Marathon. I got to tell you, I hate driving in busy, hectic traffic, especially in a place where I don't know where I'm going. I've never been there before, and so I am dependent upon Siri, my friend, and he's given me all those directions. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the roads downtown were closed because the route for the marathon was all through the streets of Nashville, and they were blocked off, and then I missed my turn. And all of a sudden, I'm dependent, and so I'm like, okay, recalculate, and my wife's in the car with me, and my daughter, and our grandson, and the little wheel, I call it the wheel of death, it's just spinning and spinning, and it's not giving me directions, and so I immediately lock up, I kind of freeze up, and I just... And so I'm just going real, real slow. And my wife, she's like, you can drive a little faster. And I'm like, I can't. I don't know where we're going. I'm going to make another wrong turn. The mappy thingy. And so they're both looking it up on their phones. And I'm just getting tenser and tenser. And then you know what? All the people driving around me were just not feeling what I was going through. They were like, no, all kinds of lovely gestures coming my way. And people going all around. They obviously knew where they were going. I did not. By the time we got to our parking space, I was all wigged out. That's what my wife calls it. She'll look at me and say, you're wigged out again. And I was so stressed out. It was absolutely nerve-wracking. Well, here's the point. We all experience negative things. God did not design us to stay wigged out. He designed us to live with joy. And so the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize when we're kind of in a mess, you know, like we'll say, I'm just a hot mess today, or when we are in joy, and we need to know the difference between the two. Here's the second thing. We need to understand what joy is and how it works. Remember, Paul says, I have learned the secret of contentment. You know what? We could rephrase that and say, he learned the secret of joy in the Lord, and it kept him at peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Paul knew the secret of perfect peace in the Lord because his mind was fixed on Christ. He was fully trusting him no matter what was going on around him. That's really amazing because in this book of Philippians, he's writing about joy. He's experiencing joy while he's in prison, locked up in chains. So what is joy? Well, joy is a sense of delight and peace that comes from feeling valued and loved by God. Let that wash over you. It's a sense of delight and peace that comes from feeling valued and loved by God. You are loved and valued by God. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, God loves you so much. Tell him that right now. Look him in the eyes. Eyeballs are really important for this, and we're going to see this in a minute. You are loved. It is a peace that comes from the presence of God in our lives. It's fully knowing that in my person, deep down, I'm loved by him. I am fully approved of in him, in Christ Jesus. And here's the turn. When I was looking to Dr. Thomas, great man, I love Dr. Thomas, for approval, and I was getting all worked up, all wigged out. I did not realize that in that moment, in Christ Jesus, God already fully loved me. Amen? He already approved of me. He already had affirmed me and had accepted me. I needed to turn from looking to that man and look to God for my need, simply to him. And that's what we need to do. Have you ever heard of the phrase, the apple of someone's eye? Have you ever heard that? Oh, they're just the apple of my eye. This is a way to describe someone that you cherish and treasure. It is somebody that you're always excited to see, and you love to be with them. This is how I feel about my grandchildren. And one of them was at my house this past week. His name is Emery. He's 1 year old now and he's walking. We had such a good time. When I see that little guy, I get so excited. That's how God feels about you. Just like that. He loves you so much. You are the apple of God's eye. He is always excited to see you. He loves being with you. We just need to let this sink down into our souls, because sometimes we get in a place where we feel like, I'm just broken. I'm just a mess. God can never love me. God can never forgive me for all the junk that I've done. But he does in Christ Jesus. Psalm 17:8 says, keep me. The writer is saying, keep me, God, as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. So joy is that delight and sense of God's peace and love and affirmation over us, but it can also be experienced in the Lord and can be mirrored in our relationships with one another. It's our love for each other that reminds us and helps us to know that we're loved by God. It's the feeling you get when you see someone that you haven't seen in a long time, like a friend I see sitting right down here on the front row that we went to Kansas City with just a couple of short years ago. You're excited to see them. You're glad to be with them. Listen, this is God's desire for the body of Christ. He wants us to be excited to see each other, to be glad to be together. So, in essence, we can say that joy is primarily relational. It's about our joyful relationship with God and then seeing it mirrored in others. Now, I'm going to geek out on you here, nerd out. I've never really understood the difference between nerd and geek, but I think I can do both. This is absolutely fascinating what I'm learning. Our brains, listen, are wired with mechanisms for dealing with fear when we do experience it, but then being able to turn back toward and return to joy. This was all set up in our brains by God when he created us. We are literally hardwired for joy. Now, and this is really important for us to understand, fear is primarily processed in a part of the brain known as the amygdala. The amygdala is a small almond-shaped structure located deep within the brain's medial temporal lobe. You didn't know you're going to get all this anatomy today. It's about right here, okay? But it's stuck back there. It is a component of what's called the limbic system, and it's involved in many of our emotional responses, and it has a significant role in the processing of memories and significantly really tough, strong emotional memories. And that's why we can get stuck there, because sometimes when we have terrible things that might happen to us or done to us, and we don't figure out a way for the Lord to heal that and bring us back to a place of joy, we get stuck. And that's why we'll get triggered or we'll get emotional. And it's like, I can't get out of this funk. I'm just all messed up and I don't know what to do. Have you ever felt that way? You're hanging out in your amygdala, I can just tell you. And so this place is where our brain determines if we're in danger or whether it's fight or flight. This is the place that determines. It's a healthy place, but we can't stay there all the time. It's not good for us. And so when trauma happens in our lives, we can get stuck in that part of our brains and our emotions, and we can begin, listen, to live out of fear. So now the lens that we see the world through is because of fear. Everything we think and do. And these hurtful situations or traumas will cause us and can cause us, if we don't recover from them, to make what are called unhealthy attachments. And these continue to impact us throughout our lives. Attachments simply are either secure or unhealthy ways that we relate to others. And it's what we believe about the world and people. We come to a place where we believe that the world is not a safe place. And so therefore, we need to figure out those things for ourselves rather than looking to God. And then the devil comes along and he whispers lies to you. Yep, I told you God wasn't good. I told you he's holding out on you. I told you you're just broken. You're just trash. And we believe the lie. And we start operating out of those lies. It impacts us for a lot of years in our lives. We're stuck in fear. Now, the good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to set us free from every lie the devil has ever said to you. He came to set us free from every addiction that we fall into to avoid our pain, every hurtful situation that has caused us to live in fear and isolation. The Lord can. Listen, there's hope and is always ready to bring healing to these troubling situations from our past. He can set us free from living in fear and help us to live in joy. Amen. Psalm 68 says this, but let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. This is God's position toward you and toward us as his children. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. And did you notice in this verse, in this place, it says God places the lonely in families. And so one of the things I'm learning about as I learn about joy, it's actually through loving and healthy communities, smaller groups of people, that we can experience healing from the pain of our past. It's actually through healthy relationships that we learn how to experience joy. All right, so that's where fear works in our minds and how the devil will use it to trap us. On the other hand, joy is processed in a part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. Especially, it's in the orbital frontal cortex, which is right above your right eye. So fear back here in the middle, joy right here above your eye. And this is why we experience joy when someone is glad to see us or we are glad to see them. You see someone you haven't seen in a long time. Hey, it's so good to see you. When you raise your eyes like that and the other person sees your eyes raise up, it floods us with joy. Literally, our neurons are firing and saying, joy, 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 happy, happy, happy. And that's a good thing. This is why joy is relational. So when we experience fear or negative emotions, our amygdala is processing, it's in control, but there's literally, look at this, a neural brain pathway back to joy, and we can actually learn how to exercise this. It's like ab workout or bicep workout. There's a joy workout. And when our emotions reset and we return to ourselves and to peace, and to joy, those brain signals have moved from your amygdala back to the prefrontal cortex. We've returned to joy. And that's what God wants us to learn how to do, how looking to him can reset our emotions, returning to joy. The 1980 British pop singer Billy Ocean sang, "Get out of my dreams and into my car." Jesus is saying, get out of your amygdala and get back into your prefrontal cortex. Get out of fear and back into joy. Listen, if I can take brain science and theology and somehow put an 80s pop star in there, I'm living my best life. Now, and this is important, the better we are able to do this, the more emotionally mature and secure we're becoming. I want to say this again. The better I'm able, I'm dealing with fear, I'm dealing with anxiousness, okay, hatred, anger, disgust, shame. The better I'm able to, okay, what's going on, and move back to a place of joy, the faster I'm able to do that. This is an indication of emotional and relational maturity. God wants to get us to the place where we can remain ourselves, stay in peace and strength no matter what's going on around us. That doesn't mean that in the moment when we experience pain or suffering or loss, we don't feel those things. But because of this work that the Lord has taught us through, we're able to remain calm, and we're able to remain secure, and we're able to remain loving in that moment. This is the contentment that Paul speaks of. It is a maturity both in mind, body, and in our emotions. And this is a missing, for those of you who want to understand this, this is a missing part of discipleship in the church. Maturity is measured not only in our ability to believe and process and obey God's truth as the Holy Spirit directs us, but it is also measured in our emotional, relational maturity and in our ability to deal with negative emotions, circumstances, and the pain in relationships. We need to be teaching one another, and that's where these smaller groups do this, how to grow in emotional maturity. We need to stop judging, and we need to start loving. And this is how the church, we can truly love one another, no matter who people are, no matter what they do that might bother us. We all have some irksome qualities, whether we like them or not. This is the pathway to joy. So how do we exercise this? I just want you to remember something really simple. It's the acrostic CASA, C-A-S-A, because what we're doing is we're building a house of joy. Now, these details come from a book called The Four Habits of Joy-Filled People, so these are not my original ideas. The next time you find yourself in a funk or you're triggered or you're not yourself, just remember CASA. C stands for calm. First, when you find yourself, not myself right now, take a moment, take a deep breath, and focus on the Lord. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." As our creator, God knows the first thing we need to do when feeling fearful is to calm ourselves. That's why whenever an angel would appear to someone, the first thing he would always say was what? Do not fear. And we can do this very simply through a breathing exercise. It's just simple. You just take in a deep breath through your nose. It's really important through your nose on a count of four. This is all brain science. Four counts. Hold for four, and then let it out through your mouth with a sigh. Try that with me. Ready? Take a deep breath in. I know that feels really weird to you. Okay. I don't know about you, but when I just do that, I just immediately like, okay, it's going to be all right. God wired our bodies with this physical response. There's nothing wrong. God gave us physical bodies. And so he gave us ways just to, it's like, you know, when you're having a tough day and you go, ever done that? It's the same thing. There's a ton of research on this. Brain science in God's creation to help us settle our emotions. It's the first thing we do with children at school when they're emotionally triggered. We say, hey, let's stop. Let's take a breath and let's talk about what's going on. All right, so C stands for calm. A stands for appreciate. Take a few moments to appreciate, to think about what you're thankful for. And you know what? Maybe it could be in the moment, Lord, thank you that this hard situation that I'm going through right now isn't any worse. Maybe it could be. Or Lord, thank you that you're here with me right now, even though I'm mad or I'm angry or I'm full of fear or I'm full of worry. Recognize God's presence with you in the moment. Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. And being thankful reminds us that God truly is good. He cares for us. He's always with us. So C, calm, A, appreciate, and then S stands for stories. Take a moment to remember another time when God restored you from a place of fear back to joy. And so last Saturday, when I was all triggered because of the traffic, as I calmed myself, as I remembered what I was thankful for, I was with my grandson. I was so grateful. And then I remembered, you know what? The last time I was all stressed out, I remember how God helped me to come back to a place of peace and strength and joy in my life. And so you just remember those times. Look at this verse, Psalm 94:19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. God wants to help you move from that place of fear back to a place of joy. Remember stories of how God's done that in your life. And then last, attack toxic thoughts. So calm, appreciate stories of joy, and then attacking toxic thoughts. And this is a prayer. And here's how we do this. First, we confess to God in the moment how we're feeling or any sin that the Holy Spirit makes you aware of. And so, you know what, Lord Jesus, right now, I'm just feeling so stressed out. And please forgive me for that. And then repent of any sin in your heart. And if you sense the Holy Spirit's directing towards something like, oh, wow, that was such a poor decision on my part. I shouldn't have done that or said that. I reacted in anger. Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent of that. And then the most important work we need to do here is to renounce any lies you're believing about God or about who you are in Christ. And this was the hard work for me last Saturday. I want everybody to look at me. What I realized was I struggle when it feels like things are out of control. All the traffic, all the heck. It felt like things were out of control. And here was the lie I was believing. I was believing the lie that when things are out of control, I am not going to survive. And I've got to do something quickly to make myself feel good and make myself feel safe again. And I also believed the lie that God didn't care, that he was allowing me to go through that, and that he did not care. And for whatever reason, my brain and the devil's lies, I believe that I must have done something wrong and he's punishing me right now. Those are lies. And so the good work, the hard work here is just to spend the time thinking, why do I feel this way? One writer says, what we tend to avoid shows what we're most fearful of. When I avoid something, it means I'm fearful of that. I was fearful of things being out of control. And so we renounce those lies. So just say, Lord Jesus, in your name, I renounce the lie that when things are out of control around me, I won't survive. I renounce the lie in Jesus' name that when things are out of control, this is a lie that you don't care for me because I know you do. And I renounce the lie that you're not here with me in this moment. And then we rebuke any evil spirits. That's the next one. Rebuke any evil spirits associated with your sin or the lies you're believing. And so in that moment, after I finished renouncing those lies, I said, Lord Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of anxiousness and the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. And Jesus has given us as believers the power and the authority to rebuke evil spirits. And then last, announce to yourself the truth of God's word and pray to rest in God's truth. And so I did that. Lord, you are with me. Even when things are out of control, I may not be in control, but I know you are. And there was this settling and rest in my soul. I had moved from fear back to a place of joy. The first time you do this, honestly, it takes a couple of minutes, about 10 or 15. But as you learn how to do this more and more, you are resetting and returning to a place of joy. I'm getting faster at it. So last Saturday, we got to the parking spot. We got our grandson into the stroller. And as we're walking down the street, I'm just thinking, okay, calm, appreciate, thank you, Lord. Stories. I remember the last time I was all wigged out and you helped me eventually get unwigged out. And then I was attacking those toxic thoughts. It took a couple of minutes. By the time we got to the stadium, I was able to watch my son-in-law come racing across the finish line. I was able to be present and joyful with my wife and with my daughter and with my grandchild. So there is a pathway to joy, and it's found only in Christ. And I'm simply amazed how God has wired all of us in our brains when he created us. Isn't this just beautiful? So in closing, my encouragement to you is that you would take this tool, CASA, and practice it and see what happens, see how it works. And I know for myself, this has been very helpful. And I also, though, want to give you a wider framework for this as a part of God's plan for our healing and our restoration. If you find yourself stuck in fear or anger or shame, and it doesn't feel like this tool is helping you, it could be that there are some deeper spiritual matters going on because of past pain in your life. So one of the things we do here at Cultivate is we offer something that's called the Steps to Freedom in Christ. And it's just some simple prayers that we would lead you to pray for yourself. And through those, you can begin to experience freedom. And Pastor Daniel and I would be happy to meet with you and talk about that with you and help you pray through those prayers. And I do know in my own life, I went through the Steps to Freedom in Christ a couple of years ago, and this was foundational in helping me to know freedom in the Lord and in His joy. So here's the point, and here's kind of the framework. This CASA process is one of a couple of tools that can help us to stay in joy once we've experienced foundational freedom in our lives. And so just to think about that, you're laying the foundation of freedom in Christ, and then this is a way for you to stay in freedom and to stay in joy in the moment. I hope that framework makes sense. I want to point you to a couple of resources. One of them is Neil Anderson's book called The Bondage Breaker. We actually have free copies of that book on the tables up here. Take one. Free means free. There's no catch. So help yourself to one of those. That'll help you deal with that foundational layer of freedom that's needed for all of us. And then the other book where a lot of today's message came from is called The Four Habits of Joy-Filled People, and it's by Marcus Warner and Chris Corsi. I actually have the names of those resources at the bottom of your notes this morning. Okay? Let me close for us in prayer. So, Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the truth that we find in it, that you want us to live in joy and in strength and in peace and to live with hope, the hope of the gospel. And no matter where we find ourselves today, that hope is in you. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of identify or resonate with some of the things that have been said today, and you're like, Pastor Mike, that's me. I'm just really stuck in fear or shame or guilt. And I want to be released from that. I want to return to joy and peace. Would you be willing just to say, Lord, this is me. Please set me free. Just say, Lord, I need your help. I confess my fear to you this morning. Maybe there's some sin that God's been convicting you about. And so you'd say, Lord, I repent of that sin in Jesus' name. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live with you. I don't want to live in fear anymore. Would you then renounce the lies that the devil's been telling you? Lord, in your name, I renounce all the lies of the enemy. I renounce the lie that I'm not good enough, that you don't love me. I renounce the lie in Jesus' name that you don't care about me. I renounce the lie in Jesus' name that I'm broken, that I'm trash. I renounce the lie in Jesus' name that I'm stuck in this place and I'm going to have to live here for the rest of my life. I renounce these lies in Jesus' name. And then rebuke the enemy. Just say, Lord Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of anxiousness in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of worry. And I announce the truth that you love me. I announce the truth that I'm the apple of your eye. I announce the truth that Christ died for me. I announce the truth that you are my heavenly Father. And that I am loved by you, I'm accepted by you, I am affirmed by you, I am approved by you because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may we learn how to experience your freedom through all aspects of life. No matter what we're experiencing,
no matter where we're at. And may we be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, that we too have learned the secret of contentment in Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, we fix our eyes upon you. Keep our minds at peace. Help us to find the path of life in you and the fullness of joy in your presence. We praise you, Lord. We love you so much. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.